Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Matt Connor here. I was going to sing a little Richard Marx to open the show. Specifically, it don't mean nothing, because it don't mean nothing for all these rivals and all these also-rans, otherwise known as the 31 other franchises in the National Football League, trying their best to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs on this opening 2 days of free agency. We're here amid the free agency frenzy. Lots going on, but I'm not going without saying hello. My friend, he's sporting the hat today, says, bring the juice. All right, you're bringing the juice today, you look like.
I'm bleeping bringing it, dude. I am going to bring it. Just like John Cage's song, was it 344? The song that's only silence, where he sits at a piano. John Cage just sits at a piano for however long it is, like 3 minutes and 44 seconds. That's what it feels like Brett Veach is doing today. But quite frankly, it doesn't seem like it's a bad strategy. Like,
no, man, the money thrown right now is silly.
We'll get into everything, but like, I want a lot of Chiefs fans to take a step back. I've seen a lot of anger.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here going, yo, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years back to back. This guy knows what he's doing. The Chiefs know what they're doing.
Yep.
Let's take a little time off. Let's reflect. And when the season's over again, who is going to be holding the Lombardi?
You are totally right, my friend. Look, just in case people somehow don't know, Monday was the opening of the quote legal tampering period that goes through the rest of today and into tomorrow. Tomorrow, you're going to hear all of these deals again made official. Unless people wiggle out of them. The Broncos kicker wiggling out of Jacksonville to stay in Denver, things like that. But we got a lot to talk about here. We're going to have a rundown of everything in early free agency. We're going to talk all the way through it, not just Chiefs, but we're going to be looking at what the rivals are doing, what some other contenders in the AFC. We're talking about all of it. We got some Chris Jones thoughts. We got some Legarius Sneed ideas. Nick Allegretti gets the bag. Lots more. Chiefs are tinkering around, at least with minor moves. But before we get to all that, we got a great deal for you all from our friends at BetMGM.
Yeah, if only BetMGM had the what is Matt Connor going to sing to start this show and what stupid reference is Sterling going to make. I mean, I feel like that would be pretty fun, but they don't. But what you can do is bet on anything else pretty much, including college basketball. I'm getting my college basketball bets in already. So if you've not downloaded the BetMGM app yet, you'll definitely want to take advantage of this limited time offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your bet is placed, you will instantly receive $150 in bonus bets. You will get 3 bonus bet tokens of $50, allowing you to make multiple wagers with your bonuses. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrowmgm. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrowmgm. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
Love it. As always, my friend. So let's just say this. I think most people in Chiefs Kingdom realize free agency is not like does not win or lose championships. The team that spends the most usually gets frustrated by the fact that they spent all their stuff. So I think most fans realize, yeah, it's okay that we didn't hear the Chiefs name being called a lot over the last like 48 hours. I think most fans realize that. But for those who don't, just a reminder that a lot of silly money is thrown around in the first wave of free agency. And it's the mature teams. Like, think about your favorite. Think about not just the Chiefs, but just go through who are the other very stable, very consistent people or franchises that are always at the top. How much have they done as well? How much are we hearing about the Ravens? How much are we hearing about
49ers?
The Niners. How much are we hearing about, you know, the Eagles always seem to like grab the next name and they're fine. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. It doesn't. In other words, the Patriots would do the same thing. Occasionally a surprise move, but they would largely sit out some things here too. So
if you look through the totality of free agency, typically you're overpaying for guys and you're overpaying for the name.
Who this would happens, let go for a reason?
Correct. And I think the Eagles right now, they've been the most surprising team. I'm starting to realize that we always say Howie Roseman is a great GM, and I do think he's a great GM. But sometimes I wonder if he tries to win the offseason by bringing in big names rather than making the team actually better. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about him trying to bring in, oh, look at the flashy name. Look at Saquon. Well, was running back the issue last year? No, it was not. It was the horrendous 2 scoops, make it 3 scoops of ass secondary. That was the issue. And they brought in, at this point, 0 secondary members. But they're trying to bring in the O-line and the D-line and running back, which, again, not the issue. So sometimes I think we need to sit back and say, yeah, the splashy names are great. But sometimes it's all splash, no substance. Sometimes you have to say, what actually makes sense for a team going forward?
3 scoops of ass. That's a lot of scoops.
Dog, I've not enjoyed what the Eagles secondary was last year. I mean, as a Chiefs fan, I don't care. Obviously, it's great. But I'm just like, you saw that secondary last year. It was the reason you kept losing games and you don't want to address? Fine.
I mean, we all know. Scoop more than normal for you. I'm just saying.
Well, we all know that what really matters is, can you draft well and can you keep those guys in your organization? That's why, as we transition right now to talking about Chris Jones, that's why I think this was the biggest free agent signing, if you will, yep, of any team. Yep. Again, he was not technically a free agent, right? Because he signed. But the Chiefs bringing him back was the biggest move they could have made. Yep. There was no one else on the free agent market that you would have said I would have rather had over Chris Jones. Yep. And by the way, you look what Brian Burns got. Do you see the Brian Burns contract?
30 mil, right?
He's very Frank Clark-esque, by the way. You look at the statistics and everything. I mean, I think Brian Burns, good edge rusher, not elite. But look what he got. Then look what the Chiefs paid to keep Chris Jones in Kansas City. Yep. Again, I'm not saying it's a steal. I'm not saying it's a bargain. But I'm saying Brian Burns is getting paid basically the exact amount as Chris Jones is.
Yep. Yep.
Keeping Chris Jones in Kansas City was the number one thing that had to happen. Yep. They got him. So for everyone who's upset about the wide receivers or any other position, calm down, because the Chiefs brought back the number one most important thing, what basically breaks down to a 3-year contract. I'm thrilled, man. I'm ecstatic. This was the move the Chiefs had to make, and they made it.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital.
They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yep, absolutely. It's an A-plus move paired with another A-plus move, which was re-signing Drew Tranquil in the heart of the defense. So before free agency begins, look, you tell me, what brought the Chiefs the championship last year? It was the defense. It was not the offense. The defense carried the team. The defense took care of business enough in the postseason that when the offense came alive, they were able to get it done. Now you can go right now, even if you didn't acquire anyone else, I would still trust this defense to largely perform as it did last year because you've already secured Tranquil in the middle. You let Willie Gay go, but we saw the breakout of Leo Chenal in the post. Like, Chenal looked like a man possessed. So you want to give him room to grow and move. The second level's already ready. The secondary already has enough young, bright talent that you know they're going to continue to grow and get better. What you needed was the return of Tranquil to fill out the linebackers. And then, of course, you lock up the engine. And we locked up the engine. And so I love, and, you know, look, I don't think it's too big of a deal. I think he deserves it. The market's gonna go this direction anyway. Chris Jones' deal is going to get trumped. Look, the NFL is expanding all over the globe, one. Two, sports gambling revenues are going to continue to skyrocket as new states join in. Three, streaming services that are going to make you pay for every playoff, whatever, like Peacock did before. It is revenue, revenue, revenue. And as all that comes in, the salary cap is only going to go up by a ton and more, like more and more and more. So these kind of deals, the salary cap just went up by how much Chris Jones is going to get paid in a year this year. Next year, it's going to go up another, 10%, whatever more. It's going to be another $25 million, whatever it is going to be. These deals don't have to, like, the people who wring their hands going, I can't believe they paid him that much. Sorry, he deserved it. If there's anything wrong with the deal, it's just that somehow the Chiefs should have gotten it done last year. Like, it was silly. But that's what my friend calls a sunk cost or a sunk issue of some kind. It's over. You got to lock up Chris Jones. He's the engine that drives that bus, and that bus is what won a championship last year.
Yeah, I mean, the Cass brothers back-assed their way into a actual positive for Chris Jones.
Can
I mean,
you believe that, by the way?
If he would have signed last year, it would have been a lot less money. I mean, not a lot less, but I mean, $3-4 million per year probably.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I think the Cass brothers handled it poorly last year, but at the end of the day, they got their client the most money they possibly could. So they got it done. He didn't hit free agency where the Chiefs would have more than likely been outbid. Again, the structure of the Chris Jones contract is such that it's not going to be a massive hindrance on them. It's one where if all of a sudden, hey, it's not working out after 3 years, from my understanding, okay, cut bait, not the biggest deal. Again, that's the years I think everyone was concerned about. No one had any qualms with a three-year deal. I mean, when you look at NFL contracts, if they say 5 years, they're not going to be 5 years unless you are a quarterback, for the most part. This had to happen, and it happened. So I'm all in on this. It was the right move for both parties. Again, I think it is twofold. When people are talking about the money, is your team better with Chris Jones on it or not? The answer is yes. Second part, how have the Chiefs drafted at defensive tackle comparatively to any other position on defense? They can't hit there. They can't hit. Cornerback, everyone. Safety, everyone. Linebacker, everyone. Defensive line, up and down. But especially defensive tackle.
Nothing.
So my thought process is here. It's great and all to say, well, we'll just draft a defensive tackle, save a lot of money there. But you have not shown the ability to do that.
Yeah.
So you pay that guy and draft everyone else on defense because you have shown you can identify and develop talent there. So for me, that makes sense. You can replace anyone else defensively as you have shown the ability to do. You replaced how many corners with how many other corners? How many Javarius Ward, Legarius Sneed, which we'll see, Trent McDuffie. I mean, the list goes on and on. Linebacker, you had a horrendous linebacking core and you replaced it with Willie Gay Jr., Leo Chenal, Nick Bolton, and obviously the addition of Drew Tranquil. I'm talking just draft picks.
Yeah.
Defensive end, you struggled, couldn't hit anywhere, but what'd you do? You found George Karlaftis, you found Mike Dana, fifth rounder, rotational guys. Like, yeah. Again, FAU, jury's still out. So that is what I am saying right here. Brian Cook, safety. I mean, like, Jamari Connor, safety / whatever he's going to be versatile-wise. I'm like, but what are they? Colin Saunders? No. Derek Nnadi? No. I mean, again, those guys have been fine. Turk Wharton? No, they've been fine. Like, you haven't hit there. Keandre Coburn, no.
Yeah, Neil Farrell, nothing.
So again,
trade for him.
It's Chris Jones. That's the guy.
Tell me if you love this as much as I do. In the moment, you're making these decisions based on a short-term thing. Like, how much is he? And is it going to be a good contract right now? But part of this is about legacy. Part of this is about three-peat and history and the way that we're going to remember this team. Like what's happening right now is the way that the Chiefs on a bigger level are going to be remembered for a very, very long time. And here's what I love. I love that Patrick Mahomes probably is never, ever, ever going to be anything else but a Kansas City Chief. I love that Travis Kelce is never, ever, ever going to be anything else but a Kansas City Chief because Chris Jones is in the conversation for best defensive player in Chiefs history. He's in that general conversation. Now, I would put him behind some others. That's fine. But
Derek Thomas, Buck Buchanan, Bobby. Right.
He's top five.
Top
for
five.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're in that conversation, you know what I want? I want you to play for the team your whole career. I want you to sort of be this all-time Chief kind of guy. And that's what the Chiefs were able to do here. We're not watching Chris Jones spend at least some of his prime with another team. It would have hurt to see him with a rival, but even any other team, it's just not what you want to see. It ruined Neil Smith. It ruined Neil Smith in a way that will never kind of allow him to fully be.
Do you mean his legacy?
Yeah. Yeah, legacy.
I would say it didn't ruin him because he got two Super Bowls.
No, I just mean what I mean is right now is not just about X's and O's or about the immediate business. It's also about the memories we're going to have of these players and overall. And I love the fact that a side effect of this is that we will never see Chris Jones play in any other uniform ever again. He's a Chief for life. You don't pay for that, but I like it.
Yes and no. I get where you're coming from. I think the nostalgic or the fun aspect of that's obviously it's great. But I'm thinking of this as a strictly performance standpoint. I'm not even thinking of this as Chris Jones is playing in Houston. Like Chris Jones is playing somewhere else. Like this is for me a strictly performance thing because what did New England do so well? They don't care what you did. It's what are you going to do the following years? You don't fall in love with those players and then say, all right, just because we like you, you're going to come back around. I'm not saying that's what you necessarily mean, but this for me is strictly performance, has nothing to even do necessarily with the legacy factor. I think you look around the NFL, it happens all the time. Tom Brady, you never thought he was going to play for another team. Aaron Rodgers, baseball, Harmon Killebrew. Royals legend, Harmon Killebrew, right? But he was with the Twins for how long? And then he finished his last year. Like, no one remembers that. But you think the Twins cared that he batted .234 with the Royals that year? No, like like that's what I think it comes down to is, for me, legacy stuff's great. It's fun. It's fine. This is strictly performance-based for me. The Chiefs
sure.
are not making a PR move. It's not the Royals when they were wanting to bring back some fun faces from the World Series teams to sell tickets. Chiefs sure. don't have that issue.
Sure.
This is strictly performance-based, which I love.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't mean to imply they're paying him because he's a known figure. They're paying him because he's worth it. I just love the side effect of, which is what I said, the fact that he's not going to have to go anywhere else. The fact that we'll always remember him as a Chief, and that he's going to remain a part of things as they try to three-peat and then forward. It's the core is going to stay together of the main trio. The Chiefs' best three players are going to stay the Chiefs' best three players is what I mean. Yeah. Sean Browning says the same thing. Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jones are the pillars of the roster. I totally agree. Yeah. Any other Chris Judge related thoughts that you had, or even the moves that the Chiefs made coming into free agency? Tranquil?
No, I mean, the Drew Tranquil one was great. 3 for 19. Was it $13 million guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Again, basically a 2-year deal with the team option. Love it. Drew Tranquil is the guy you wanted to bring back because he's so versatile. It also puts some pressure on Nick Bolton. He's got to perform well. I mean, I think they're the best as a tandem together, but we assume Drew Tranquil is taking Willie Gay Jr.'s spot, right?
Yeah.
But when Nick Bolton comes up for a contract extension, the Chiefs could have – I'm not saying it's going to happen or that it should happen, but I'm saying it's a potential opportunity for the Chiefs to say, hey, that's great and all. You want top dollar? Well, we have Drew Tranquil waiting right here who can obviously fill in and play the green dot.
Yeah.
That's – from the Chiefs' perspective, organizational-wise, that – may be a ploy to try and drive down Nick Bolton's contract as well. He's just so versatile. Spags loves him. He can play all three linebacker positions. If you're going to bring back either him or Willie Gay Jr., I don't think it was a question. You bring back Drew, even though he is older. I don't like that we're still talking about Willie Gay Jr. with potential. At some point, we need to see more consistency. I love Willie Gay Jr. I wish he could come back, but we know the nature of the business. He's going to get paid by some team. And again, I think some team's going to pay him a lot of money, again, partially based on potential.
Yeah. By the way, Willie Gay himself said, I have more potential. I don't know if you saw like his tweet or whatever that came out, but yeah. So the next one on the list, I mean, L'Jarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of thought a deal might have been done by now, honestly. You know, because tomorrow is the first day of the league. Of the new league year. Are you surprised that L'Jarius Sneed is still not taken care of, quote?
I don't know how. Okay. It's like yes and no, which is just the lamest answer of all time. I get that. Like, I thought he would have been traded by now, probably.
Okay.
But I still don't know how good the odds are of him playing in Kansas City next year. Like, I'm still not super confident. If it was a 50-50, like, if you said, which side would you take, which is the higher probability, I think the higher probability is him playing somewhere else.
Okay.
I don't know if this is a case of trying to see what all the other corners do, and then a team goes, all right, we'll trade for him now. We didn't get our guy. Mm. There's not a lot of great cornerbacks out right now, obviously. When Jalen Johnson signed his contract,
That was it.
I mean, I did the list yesterday or Friday. I went through the entire list of the free agent corners. With Jalen Johnson now gone, L'Jarius, who we think is older for him hitting free agency for the first time, is still younger than the majority of the good cornerbacks on the market. I mean, like Awuzie, right? He might be number 3 or number 4 in that list. It's just not a super strong. It's more name recognition than actual production at this point, which is good for L'Jarius Sneed and is good for Kansas City. What's not good for L'Jarius is you saw Jalen Johnson's contract. Jalen Johnson is over 2 years younger. And quite frankly, he got, what was it, $19 million AAV. I don't see L'Jarius getting that. So Kansas City might now be able to go back to L'Jarius and say, hey, man, I get it. You probably should have been a Pro Bowler, All Pro. Well, he was second team All Pro. Okay. He's 2 years younger than you. We're not giving you that. That's the going market for that. Maybe you're around 14 or 15. If that's the case, I think there's a better chance that the Chiefs sign him. If Legarius goes, I don't care. I know what I want to get. I know I'm a lockdown guy. I want to get Jalen Johnson money. It's not going to be from Kansas City. That, to me, is what it comes down to.
I think I may be a little bit more bullish on Snead's chances here, because Jalen Johnson before last year was nowhere near Snead. Snead has been for the last 4 years a better overall cornerback. Year before last, Jalen Johnson was kind of, he was even benched. Jalen Johnson was even benched during his third year. Sure. So I know he's younger. The sky may be there more, and he played better last year for sure. So I think maybe that balances out. I still think Snead can get the bag because Snead took over a starting role at week one of his rookie year and has always been a strong performer. And then, of course, last year, you know, as we hear, the contract year is undefeated for all parties involved.
Elite.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, we shall see. I will say we've mentioned the Detroit Lions as a very real place where he could go. And then Detroit trades for Carlton Davis of the Bucks to kind of fill that cornerback spot. The Cardinals sign Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, who's not all world like Snead, but maybe they want to. It'll be interesting to see who's still available, basically, with musical chairs.
Well, the Texans, if I'm not mistaken, signed Jeff Okuda, which, again, I'm not saying Jeff Okuda is a lockdown corner, but the contract wasn't much. 1 year, six and a half. It actually felt like a very Brett Veach move, right? That was a move I expected Brett Veach to make.
Yeah.
But again, I think they're sitting here going, all right, we got Stingley, and let's throw Jeff Okuda on the other side, a former third overall draft pick. You know, again, you're looking around and saying, okay, now where is the landing spot for Legarius? That's the case. Maybe he is playing back here on the franchise tag. I'm just concerned he's not going to sit out. Obviously, he as a fourth round draft pick, he's not made his money yet. This is the most money he ever has seen in the NFL.
Yep.
But part of me is sitting here going, this is a bad move for him too, because he's coming off most likely the best year he's ever going to have in the NFL. Last year was elite, electric. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about the knee injuries. We're talking about the age, and you're sitting here going, all right. If there was ever a time for him to get paid, it's this offseason. It's a tough line for him to try and especially his agents to figure out. I kind of feel bad because if he does not get paid this offseason, I don't think he gets paid next one. So if he takes a franchise tag, I don't know what his market looks like next year. It's going to be hard for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hope good things for Snead. He deserves to get paid very well by somebody. He played his ass off this year. You know, we all want to see him, you know, generational wealth changes these families' lives. Want to see it. Hey, the other one, by the way, Nick Allegretti, what a great story. What a great story. I think we're all going to miss Nick Allegretti in terms of his presence on the line. You know, he's always been appreciated there in the middle. Then when Andrew Wiley left as a super sub to go to the Washington Commanders, on what I think was a 3-year deal, maybe 324. You know, Allegretti then stepped up as like kind of the sixth man role, and you knew he could play the middle anywhere. And then, you know, he plays through the torn UCL. He steps in for Tooney. He doesn't even just step in for like a replacement player or an average player. He steps up for Tooney, and the offense just doesn't even notice. You just keep going. And then he plays through a torn UCL in the Super Bowl. It was like the biggest game ever, playing through a big injury, playing for the biggest guy on the line, and he does all three. And then afterward, he has a quote afterward where he just says, you know what I'd love? I'd love the chance to start somewhere and just be a leader to a group of guys. That's what he says. Yeah. He says, I just want the chance to go somewhere and maybe start and just be a leader to a group of guys. And the Commanders were like, we'll give you 3 years, $16 million to come do it. And he got it. And I just think, I love it. I hate losing you. I hate to watch you go, but I love to watch you leave. However you say that, I love it. I'm happy for him. Nick Allegretti is a man's man. They're going to love him there. And I love that his life has changed with significant money.
Yeah. I see a lot of folks talking about wide receiver. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, but don't worry. We'll hit on that. But Nick Allegretti, man, you're right. It's Andrew Wiley. We said the same thing last year, and now the same thing for Allegretti. This is my concern. I remember we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, what's your biggest concern of the free agents? And I said, I think one of my biggest ones outside of the major names is Nick Allegretti. Because the versatility and the comfortability you have with him stepping in case of injury, you're comfortable. I mean, the first team all pro Joe Tooney, as you mentioned, goes down. You're like, yeah, I mean, he's over a full season, probably not going to be Joe Tooney, but can you coach him up? Is he fine? Is he serviceable? Is he above average? Yeah. So I knew he was going to get starter money and a chance to start on another team. There was hardly any chance he was going to stay back here in Kansas City. You love it for him. Sucks to see him go, as you mentioned, but yeah, he is very deserving. And of course, Washington, right? Of course, he's going to play alongside Andrew Wiley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be pretty fun.
Yeah. What a great story for him. By the way, the market reset at guard, Robert Hunt getting $20 million a year, Damian Lewis getting about that, whatever it is.
Runyon got 3 for $30 million.
John Runyon getting, look, when Robert Hunt's getting $20 million, I'm looking over at, like, I'd put Hunt in maybe the second to third tier at guard in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at an all pro and Joe Tooney going, hey, buddy, remember when everyone was complaining about your contract? You're now one of the best deals in the NFL. Okay, maybe that's overstating it. But yeah, that breaking news, Joe Tooney's contract is no longer problematic for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I will say two things. One, Trey Smith's going to get paid. Trey Smith is going to get a lot of money.
Oh, man.
A lot of money. Number two, I need to put on a lot of LBs and play guard because I'll just crush some ice cream. You give Love me some. I've been on a health kick, too, but I'm just looking at the money the guards are getting paid going, you know what? Maybe I won't.
Dude, play big, pay big. I guess that's the way that works.
Make that. Put that on a T-shirt.
I have it tattooed on my chest. Not really. Yeah, man. I the market's huge. Remember when the disparity was so big between tackle and interior lineman of any kind? It was like royalty outside and peasantry inside. And then now it's all evened out. It's pretty amazing, really, that's the case and the market's changed that much. But
yeah, running backs also got a lot of money this offseason, at least more than in the past couple. Those two were the biggest surprises for me positional-wise in the NFL was running back and guard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, let's go to some of that. By the way, one more Chiefs-related note. You know, the Chiefs lost Allegretti. We lost Tommy Townsend to the Texans on a two-year deal. No big surprise there. The Chiefs have brought back a couple guys. We've re-signed James Winchester, long snapper for the long term. By the way, I noted this on Twitter, but his name is Winchester, not Losechester. And the Chiefs have never not gone to the postseason since he arrived. 2015. The year before we got Winchester, didn't make the postseason. Is this a coincidence?
No.
I think maybe James W.C. Winchester. I think that's his full name. Not really. I just made that up. But I think James Winchester may be the secret sauce and no one knows it. I'm just saying, right? If you're listening, James, we're on to you. That's all I got to say about it.
Anyway, I think we need to get James Winchester on this show. I feel like he's a guy we can get on the show.
I think so. I think a little,
Richard, producer of the back. We need to get James Winchester on this show. Let's make it happen. Okay.
Make it happen. So we have James Winchester. We brought back Deion Bush, safety. I like it. I like the move because obviously he came up with the big pick in the postseason. He's special teamer, trusted guy. I like glue guys like that. And then we added Irv Smith. I'm not going to say anything about it just yet. I want to go to you first. What's your take on either bringing back Winchester, not Losechester, bringing back Deion Bush, or or the Irv Smith signing?
Yeah, first two are fine. Deion Bush, depth piece. James Winchester, I actually like it so you don't lose two out of your three special teamers in 1 year. That actually makes a lot of sense. That'd be a whole new operation going on. And it gives the Chiefs some comfortability there. Then Irv Smith. Ricky Seals Jr. 2.0.
There it is.
I mean, he's young. He's 25. Second round draft pick. What was it?
I love you.
18th in the second round. It's funny though. Like I put on Twitter, I was like, second round draft or second rounder, relatively young. I go decent depth signing, and people are like, "Oh, you think this fixes our issues?" I'm like, "What part of decent depth signing means the Chiefs addressed what? What?" Like, it doesn't move the needle. It's fine. Like, the Chiefs have to fill out a third-string tight end. Welcome to the club, Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah.
By the way, I see that right there. What's Tooney recent with the low snap? That's Creed Humphrey. Tooney's left guard. Creed Humphrey has the low snaps there. But, yeah, man, like, if that means no Blake Bell, cool. Like,
right.
I'm totally fine with that.
Dude, the number of, I wish we were in person so I could give you a giant hug, because the number of people I saw, at least on Twitter, going, yes, Irv Smith, we got a real tight end to pair with Travis Kelce. And one, I'm thinking, okay, one, Noah Gray is legit and he's in his contract year and he's going to be great. He's locked in. No one is competing for tight end two. It's Noah Gray. Sorry, that's the case. Two, Irv Smith is, like when you said Ricky Seals Jones, you were right on. This is not some major acquisition. In fact, he signed for just above the veteran minimum. This is a very cuttable guy on a very cuttable deal who's already playing for his third franchise in 5 years. The Vikings took him in the second and said, we're not even waiting for him to play out his rookie deal. The Cincinnati Bengals took a chance on him, and then we're like, we're done there too. Even though they need tight ends, look, Irv Smith is fine. I went and talked to a Vikings. I asked a guy who covers the Vikings about Irv Smith. I said, hey, whatever happened out there? And he said, the guy has a problem with a thing called catching the ball. And I was like, oh, is he a great blocker?
Demetrius Harris, baby.
Yeah. I said, is he a great blocker? He's like, yeah, not that either. And he's like, hence the reason we moved on and traded for Hawkinson and did what we did. Yeah. Anyway. Yes. Irv Smith is not moving the meter. He was a second round pick. It's what Veach likes to do. It's called this year's Reggie Ragland, DeAndre Baker, Mike Hughes, Cam Irving. Like, we can go on and on with former first or second round picks.
Don't disparage Cam Irving. He is the ultimate team player. I don't care about the on-the-field talent. Yeah, it wasn't there. He was always the first guy. If someone got shoved late, Cam Irving was going to have your back. If you know what? I don't want Cam Irving to be in my football team, but I want him to be in my friend group when we go to a bar or just go out in the town. Yeah, Cam Irving is the guy you want because he's putting his body on the line for you. You know, he'd be like a great cop. Like, put him like the FBI or something like that.
There it is. I love, Irv Smith is fine, but if any of you out there hear anyone pitching Irv Smith as any sort of major offensive addition, you have the responsibility to correct them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So beyond that, let's get into this market. What are you thinking? By the way, Marcelino just says, do you think it's a market correction with wide receiver and running backs? Running backs stopped getting paid, so those players moved to wide receiver like Tyreek. Now plentiful wide receiver and less running backs in the draft.
No, it wouldn't have been that amount of time. Like, it hasn't been that long, in my opinion. I just think that this year running backs are getting paid a little more than they have in the past. But again, you're seeing guys like Austin Eckler go for 2 for 11. I mean, the Chiefs, I thought, could have made something along those lines. Wide receiver market's gone down. I think we all just expected that to happen at least a little bit. But again, you're seeing Darnell Mooney get 13 mil per year. So has it gone down that much? I think Darnell Mooney is a wide receiver 3. Like, I did not want the Chiefs to pay that. I know people are like, you're paying that much for a wide receiver 2. I'm like, dog, he ain't a wide receiver 2. Like, I know he went over 1,000 yards 1 year with Matt Nagy. I go, that's the outlier.
Yeah.
That's the outlier. I'm not paying for a guy's outlier season 3 years ago now. done.
Well, someone did. Someone just gave 339.
Yeah. I'm saying, I'm glad the Chiefs didn't. Same thing with Gabe Davis. Sorry, I don't want Gabe Davis here. When the opposing team that lets him go, the Bills, are like, yeah, we don't want him to come back. We're ready to move on. What does that tell you?
Yep. I'm totally with you. I am, Sterling, you and I, slowly we're becoming one here. I'm not sure what that means. I like the flow that we have here. It's going to make for a boring show because one day we're just going to look at each other and go, yeah, I ditto. Same thing. We agree on everything here. By the way, the rivals, some of the rivals have been interesting to me. The Raiders landed Christian Wilkins to go alongside Max Crosby. What'd you think of that deal?
That was my favorite move of any move in the NFL offseason.
Okay.
By the way, yes. Jordan Schultz says, breaking news, free agent linebacker Willie Gay Jr. plans to sign a one-year deal with the Saints worth up to $5 million. Let's touch on this very quickly before we move on.
Sure.
Jordan Schultz, by the way, from Bleacher Report, has done a phenomenal job. He's been absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
But 1 year, $5 million up to. We got to see how much work the up to is doing. Would you have brought back Willie Gay Jr. for a 1 year up to $5 million?
In a different world, yes. In a world where Leo Chenault needs room to grow, no. I think the Chiefs needed to cut back a little bit to allow for further talent to break through. See what they have in Cam Jones. Like, they need a year where there's a little bit more breathing room there, I think. By the way, this makes him Drew Tranquil in a way. Remember, Drew Tranquil was 1 year, $3 million with some incentives. Willie Gay is getting a slightly more lucrative deal, it seems like, or maybe it's just super incentive laden. Dennis Allen is a defensive coach. I think it's a good place for him to go showcase his skills and then maybe get a better deal on the other side of it. What's your thought?
Yeah, you're right. I think that's actually a really good way of looking at that. I apologize for agreeing with you so much. He's 26, though. Again, it does feel very Drew Tranquil-esque.
Yeah.
It feels very, okay, you know, I've been a solid player, maybe not the most consistent. Am I a starter? Am I a backup? You got to go show it. If he proves that he is a starting linebacker, he's going to get the Drew Tranquil money. If he doesn't, and they find out he is just a coverage guy or he's just a rotational piece, then this is what he's going to be doing for a while. These 1 year, $3-5 million deals, which again, still not a bad way to make a living.
Look, all he's got to do is get on the phone and go, hey, Tyrann Mathieu, how is it down there? Hey, Passanio, how is it down there? Hey, Colin Saunders, how is it down there? Hey, Sorensen, how is it? It's like Chiefs defense central down there. I don't think Willie Gay makes the move, and he's going to have a lot of insiders there telling him, yeah, dude, come down here, play. It's going to be good for your career. It's going to be good for you. You're going to know a lot of the guys here already. I'm happy for him to have a space. He's going to make decent money. I mean, of course, great money compared to what any of us make. Yeah. So,
I'll take that,
man. You know, happy for him in that way. Yeah. Wait, you don't already make one. I thought you just re-signed here on the AA podcast for 1 year, $5 million.
I would love that.
I just thought that that's what the Bring the Juice hat was about.
anyway, going back to the Raiders,
Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, I think the Raiders have actually had one of the better off seasons so far, which is hard for me to say. Like, I want to throw, I want to yak just saying the Raiders having a good off season.
Tom Telesco.
You're right. Like, I thought it was a silly signing GM wise, but Christian Wilkins' move was phenomenal. I thought I saw Max Crosby was the eighth most double teamed defensive lineman last year.
Yep.
Well, what helps that? Bringing in a stud defensive tackle like Christian Wilkins, great move. I mean, exponentially, that defense is going to grow because of those two guys getting more one-on-ones. Then honestly, I thought Gardner Minshew, I know some folks were making fun of it. I think it's a good move. Reason being is he's a back-end starter, a fringe starter, but he's phenomenal at helping young quarterbacks develop. He's a great bridge quarterback. Mm-hmm. Did it with Trevor Lawrence, did it with Anthony Richardson. I mean, the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback. And I don't think Aiden O'Connell was moving the needle as a backup. I think he's fine. He's a nice guy. talk to him. He's a nice dude. I like Aiden O'Connell. But like, as far as the legit who's better, Gardner Minshew, who's helped be the guy for two different quarterbacks, young guys to grow, or a guy who's young in his own right.
Yeah.
You go with Gardner. Also put some pressure on a young guy. You know, hey, if you're not performing, we got this guy back in the wings who a couple games can take over. I also think that maybe you can sit behind Gardner for a year. If you want to take the Alex Smith route, you go with Gardner. I really like the move of Gardner Minshew as an underrated signing. The Raiders, in my opinion, didn't bleep up and bring in and overpay for like a super fast wide receiver like they typically do. So at least a step in the right direction for the organization.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm with you. They kept Antonio Pierce, but then they brought in Marvin Lewis, longtime Bengals coach, to be sort of that. Look, the things that Antonio Pierce doesn't know, it appears that he knows what he doesn't know. And he brings in a guy who can help him out. I like that. Telesco was always good at getting talent in San Diego and then in LA. The problem was they never stayed healthy. The problem was that they were like cursed as a franchise in some weird way.
If Christian Wilkins all of a sudden gets injured like week three, then we understand.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of like what the Raiders are doing. The other thing about the Raiders, remember, they put it to Mahomes and the Chiefs to the point where Andy Reid and Mahomes were both like, it was that game that kind of woke us up, right? If you're looking at what Max Crosby did to the Chiefs in that game, if I'm Telesco, I'm going, yeah, I want to free you up to do a lot more of that. And what I like about the Raiders is it's almost like they're saying, yeah, we don't just want to get generally better to get that seventh playoff spot. We want to retake over the AFC West. And if we're going to ever top the Chiefs, like, we're going to have to take what Max Crosby does and multiply it if we're going to have a chance to do it. And they're doing it. This could be a genuine rivalry again,
yeah.
which will make it fun.
It will make it fun again. I don't know if they're a playoff team this year, but if they get a quarterback, maybe next year, where you're sitting here going, okay, yeah, they are a legit playoff team now.
Yeah.
This is the building blocks. They're getting them in place. Culture-wise, they're trying to get that shift back. Josh McDaniels was not that dude. Antonio Pierce feels like he's that dude. And by the way, yes, I see some folks talking. Yeah, Willie Gay Jr. is gone, going to the Saints on a one-year deal. One-year deal up to $5 million just to keep everyone up to date on what we've seen. All right, let's go to the Chargers. Chargers lost Austin Eckler, brought in Gus Edwards on a fairly cheap deal. They're in a weird spot because they have all this money tied up to like five dudes. They're trying to figure out, it's like the clash. Should they stay or should they go now?
If
they stay, there will be trouble. But if they leave, it will be double. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, so we'll find out, but...
Tomorrow at this time, we will know a lot more about the Chargers, because they have to find trade targets, or they got to get under the wire. A lot of reckoning still to come in the next 24, 48 hours for the Chargers. I will say this. If I'm going to hire a coach this offseason, I would want Jim Harbaugh, and they landed him. So, long term, I trust what they're building there. If you're able to get that as your head coach.
I think the AFC West as a whole, this is the first time where all three teams, I think, have made smart moves, which is very
Broncos? Do you like what?
I love what the Broncos are doing. Broncos fans are going to hate it this year, but I think it was a smart move. I think they're just going to tear the entire thing down and start from scratch, which you have to do. This half-ass, you put a Band-Aid when you have a torn ACL, ain't going to work. Go under the knife. It's going to suck. The recovery is going to be brutal, at least a year, but you have to do it. If you don't, you're constantly in pain. You're not getting better. They're going to get better, not this year, maybe not next year, but you had to do it eventually. They did it. Russell Wilson, again, it wasn't a good situation to be in, but you know he's not the guy. You know you're not going to the playoffs, let alone winning a playoff game with him. You know Jerry Jeudy isn't going to eventually figure it out there, and by the time it's time to pay him, why? You don't have a guy to throw him the ball. So get a couple draft picks. I know they're not great, but a fifth and a sixth, and start from scratch. Justin Simmons, they love him, but overpaying a safety on that team makes no sense. Doesn't help them. Not going to help. Like, the Broncos are going to suck this upcoming season. They're going to be miserable. One of the worst teams in football. But they had to tear down. They had to. whether it's this year, next year, or in the future, it's going to happen at some point. Do it now. Get out in front of it. And then in a couple of years, you're back to mediocrity. Then maybe you don't know from there. I just think it was a smart move. Again, they sucked this upcoming season, but in the long haul, this was the right decision for the Broncos.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you're saying there, except the Broncos today announced a bunch of moves to clear tons of cap space so they could spend this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were in the hole. And so I'm wondering, I'm just thinking, you don't have the draft assets to keep, like you're not building anything right now. Like I'm with you, strip it down. So that means, like to me, I would want to just swallow all of the financial repercussions as quickly as possible. I don't want to kick the can down the road on Russell Wilson and the full
yes.
whatever. If I'm going to be miserable, I just want to be miserable. Like if I'm sick, hurry up and get me the antibiotics, force me to be in bed as soon as possible for as long as possible, and then get me back out as quickly. Like I don't want to string things along half-assed.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised to see them trying to create some room to get some players. I'm like, you're not doing anything this year. Why are you signing guys? I don't get it.
Well, with Justin Fields.
Well, there you go. There you go. You know, Sean Payton, I think, said something to the effect of not wanting to like a complete rebuild. Like, I think he wants to kind of like, can we do this on the fly and still maintain some sort of competitive nature? I don't get it.
Jarrett Stidham maybe is the like they don't have a quarterback. Their draft pick isn't good enough.
Chad Henne's out there.
Matt Moore.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think McNabb is up to? What
Shane Bouchel?
What's Kevin Cobb up to these days?
I think AJ Feely is going to lead the there it is. Anyway, let's wrap up some of our free agency coverage here. I'd love to know, what's the most surprising signing for you so far?
It's been two.
Okay.
It's been two. Saquon to the Eagles.
Yes.
Because that makes no sense. DeAndre Swift was very good there last year, a lot cheaper, and that was not the Eagles' issue. Again, it's almost like they're trying to win the name brand recognition trophy instead of the actual Lombardi trophy. The other one would be Josh Jacobs, another running back. Josh Jacobs to the Packers.
Yeah, because that was mine.
Because Aaron Jones has been, in my opinion, one of the most underrated running backs for a long time. He really has been. And letting him go, especially after a guy that's done all that for your organization, you took a pay cut to play with Rodgers, then Rodgers leaves, still like, yeah, fine, I'll and then you're just like, yeah, no, I understand now why he went to the Vikings. I hope Aaron Jones goes for 200 yards against the Packers. I am it's awesome. I just don't get the Jacobs deal to the Packers at all personally. The Derrick Henry move I thought was actually a really good one for the Ravens, because I think that one makes sense. That one had a good fit. You know, my guy Ian McMillan on Stack in the Box, we're talking about it. Same with Mixon to Houston. We talked about those two organizations being the two teams that needs at least a little upgrade at RB, and they both got it in their own way. Who said last year the Texans were going to be scary? I think the Texans right now are the third best team in the AFC. I said Chiefs, Ravens, Texans.
Wow.
Yeah, Bills, Bengals. Sorry, guys. Jets, sorry, guys. Even with Rodgers back, I don't care. Texans moved into that three spot for me, and they got better. DeNico Autry, under-the-radar signing.
Yep.
I mean, they're getting the veterans in now because you have all these guys on rookie contracts, quarterback, your two wide receivers, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, your two best defensive pieces, Stingley and Will Anderson. You can overpay guys now because by the time it's time to pay those rookies on their second contract, the guys you overpaid now are off those contracts. So you can then rebuild from that point on. So Texans to me are a scary team.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I do think I want to see CJ Stroud and company take on a schedule that's much harder, which they will next year. It'll be interesting to see them take on a first place schedule with that. Josh Jacobs to me was the head scratcher of a deal. I don't get it. I don't get paying a running back with who's already he's already so mercurial and up and down, a lot of tread already off those tires, and then you want to commit 4 years or 12 a year to that. I don't get it. at all. So yeah, I like what the Colts are doing. I like the Colts are keeping a lot of their own. They kept Pittman, Grover Stewart, Tyquan Lewis, some of those frontline guys. I think when Anthony Richardson returns, I think they're going to be much scarier than anyone realizes.
Yeah,
in that division, they were already competitive as it was after losing their franchise quarterback for the season. So yeah, I think that's going to be. I think they're going to be good. I think they're having a good, and I think they're going to be in play for Legarius Sneed, by the way. I think that's a potential place to go. So, yeah. By the way, next, finish this. Let's go to finish this statement. I'm dying to see the Chiefs. What?
Bring in a wide receiver.
Okay. Wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't care if it's not going to be an elite guy. Like, I just don't think it is. Even if they trade a Legarius Sneed, which I see a lot of folks in the chat talking about for a wide receiver, it has to be for a guy who has 2+ years left on his on a rookie deal. Like, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden trade Sneed just to turn around and then overpay for a wide receiver. Darnell Mooney, I'm glad they didn't get. Gabe Davis, I'm glad they didn't get. Yeah. Sounds like Calvin Ridley is more than likely staying in Jacksonville. He's got some weird – I looked at his contract with the trade with Atlanta back in the day. So based on a certain day, it's either a second or like a third round or a fourth round draft pick based on when he re-signs his contract. So they're trying to wait. There's not really a wide receiver one out there. There's not. Those guys rarely hit the market. A lot of times those guys are free agents. I mean, when last year the free agent wide receiver with the most receiving yards was Juju Smith-Schuster. This year I actually didn't take a look. It may have been Calvin Ridley with just over 1,000. Mm-hmm. You know, Kendrick Bourne's always an interesting name, but a guy I really think makes sense in Kansas City and a guy that the Chiefs seemingly would covet and target is Curtis Samuel. I know a lot of folks might say that doesn't move the needle. That's down a wide receiver one. Yeah, but who do you want him to sign? Who you want to trade a first round draft pick for a wide? No, you're not going to do that. I think Curtis Samuel makes sense. Very versatile guy, can play inside and outside. He's reliable. You can use him out of the backfield if you want. You can use him on end arounds, on screens. He just feels like a much more consistent, reliable McColl, Richie James, Kadarius Toney, the type of guy you always say, come on, what about the potential? Well, Curtis Samuel, I think you know who he is. He's a guy who's probably going to get 600 yards, maybe in a great year, 800. But you know what you're going to get. I think Curtis Samuel makes sense, and it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nate Taylor over at The Athletic said, hey, Chiefs fans might want to start researching Mooney or Samuel. That was his like tweet yesterday, insinuating that he was hearing from some sources that those two were kind of in the mix. Mooney gets 339 from Atlanta to go there. So, you know, what you have left is Samuel in the mix. I think something that the Chiefs need at wide receiver isn't just the big play ceiling. You also need a floor. You need someone who can raise the floor there. That's not just like drops and miscues and poor chemistry and lack of awareness overall on offense. And so Samuel would come in as a veteran, like you said, could line up anywhere along the line and be used in multiple ways. And there's a known floor there. So I think if you're paying Curtis Samuel to come in, it's not to raise the ceiling on the offensive possibility. It's to raise the floor so that the bottom doesn't drop out the way that it did several times on the Chiefs, especially during the regular season.
Yeah. PFF for the most part likes Curtis Samuel, 613 yards last year, 656 the year before, missed the majority of 21, 851 and 20, 627. Again, he's in that 600 to 800 yard range pretty much consistently. I've always been a fan of Curtis Samuel. So That's where I think the Chiefs go. I think Rashee Rice moves into your de facto wide receiver one this upcoming season. I think Curtis Samuel would be your de facto wide receiver two. I think you draft a wide receiver in the first round or second round, and go from there. Like, I think that's the way the Chiefs are going to operate. Again, when you were in the salary cap era and Mahomes is not on a rookie deal, well, you have to make concessions somewhere. And like I say, you make concessions at wide receiver, the position that he can elevate. He cannot elevate the defense, and he cannot elevate, to an extent, the offensive line. So what do? You got to cut somewhere. Cut back at wide receiver. Yeah. Hollywood Brown, I've seen a lot of that. You know, I don't get me wrong. If the Chiefs got him, I would be ecstatic. I know myself. I'm just not a huge fan of him for what I assume he's going to cost. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. I don't know if there's a way for it to make it fit that I find myself being like, yeah, the contract works great. Now the player, sure. Contract wise, I'm still on the fence in regards to Hollywood Brown, as well as kind of the same extent Calvin Ridley.
Sure. I think that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm a little bit more in on Hollywood Brown. I would love Ridley too. I think Ridley's going to be way too pricey though. So I just don't think that's happening.
All right. So, we got to do must list. I just got a, wrap up cue for my fiance. I forgot we have a wedding meeting coming up. We have a, we're meeting with some wedding folk.
So wedding meeting. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hit up Curtis, or not Curtis. I'm looking up Curtis Samuel. Richard, get your ass in here.
Hey guys, it's Curtis. Pleasure to be here.
Boats and hoes. Boats and hoes. I just watched Step Brothers. I'll go first. I'll do it. Folks, welcome to the must list, where we talk about things that we love to recommend at the end of the show. And for this week's must list, I watched Step Brothers last night for the first time since it came out. And I just thought, I knew it was funny. I forget it's like laugh out loud funny at like several intervals. And I'm not even like the biggest comedy guy, Will Ferrell guy, whatever. But that, like, it's just hilarious. I love him and John C. Reilly together. So why not just throw that out there? I'm recommending Step Brothers somehow for people who've never seen it.
Investors could be you.
Oh man, when they build the bunk beds, I just love that whole scene. That's so great.
No power tools. It's my toothbrush. No, it's not. Well, we're almost done, anyways. All right. I'll let Richard take us out, because it's always enjoyable when he does, right? You like that, Richard? He muted himself. That's cool. All right. Final question from Beard Team. I see right here. I'd rather not roll the dice to get on a below average receiver room. I get what you're saying, but there's got to be people available to make it happen. Takes two to tango. Look at the wide receiver free agents right now. Not ideal. My must list is Foster the People's album Torches. Ooh. Dude, this one was always so good. Front to back, Helena beat, pumped up kicks. Call it what you want. Always gets me going. The Matt Connor, I feel like you can hit that high note pretty well.
Are you waiting for me to do it?
Because yeah, I was waiting for you to do it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, dude, it. Bummer. But yeah, I'll go Torches by Foster the People.
Richard, what about you, brother?
I'm going to recommend, I think it's something that Matt Connor actually recommended last year, the Mission Impossible franchise. I just got caught up on it. Ooh. This weekend. I watched the last three, so that's like, I want to say it's Rogue Nation and Fallout. Ugh. And Dead Reckoning.
They're so good.
They're stupid good fun. Yeah, it's a great time. I had a blast this weekend just watching Tom Cruise run for probably like a you know, collective 40 minutes. There's a lot of footage. I like to assume the guy has zoomies on set, and then they have to build a scene around his zoomies, because he's just full of energy, and he's just like, can I run across an airport, the roof? And they're just like, go for it. We'll go get in a helicopter and we'll film it and we'll work it into the plot. So
and also
yeah,
make it look like he's 6'4" when he's 5'6".
And also make it look like he's 6'4", and also make sure all of his female co-stars are just in that 20-year age gap range. It's really funny. It's kind of cool. Good for Tom, and also doing all those stunts. I mean, it's badass. It's fun times. So yeah, if you haven't seen the Mission Impossible films, check them out. They're cool.
It's like Adam Sandler, when you're like, no way Adam Sandler is pulling that. Adam Sandler's 45 with them in these movies, with just out of shape, wearing what is that outfit? And it's just like some hot 22-year-old just like, oh, yeah, you want to go on a date with me?
Mr. President, or I don't know. I haven't watched whatever. Something Adam, like whatever that. Yeah, he's always the most impressive guy in the room, apparently. But yeah, 61-year-old Tom Cruise jumping off of roofs, riding motorcycles off of cliffs. That's it's crazy. Good for
him. Is he that old now?
he's that old. Yes. And all of his co-stars are like 40, 41. Yeah. It's great. All right. He's killing it. So yeah, check it out, guys.
Man, nice. All right. Well, this was the Airhead Addict podcast. I got to get out because I got stuff to do. Matt Connor, it's always a blast doing this with you. You are such a good dude with a great beard. Richard, you're the best producer in the entire world. I need to get you a coffee mug that says that. And guess what, everyone who's listening and watching, the best fans. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, enjoying this with us, talking Chiefs with us. If you guys want to give us a 5-star review, that would mean the world. If you guys want to comment, give us a like. That also means a ton. Helps us grow this bad boy. I'll be back with Adam Best tomorrow from 4:30 to 5:30 Central. Until then, we are out.